To look at a couple things that are very important to our life with Christ. The first thing when we become a believer, of course, is our salvation. Okay, that's very important. We have to have salvation to serve the Lord. There's a lot of people who even come to church that really aren't truly saved, which really surprises me when you look at that. There are just people in the world that proclaim to have a relationship with Christ, but they're not truly saved. Without salvation, it's just impossible to serve the Lord and do what He wants you to do and live a life that's beneficial to Christ. It's impossible to achieve. The second thing that we're going to look at is surrender. And surrender is something that's very interesting. And to me, that's something that's very important. And that's the topic for this lesson for that very reason, is surrendering our life for Christ. And once again, if we're not truly saved, we really can't surrender our life to Christ. Surrender is something that's very difficult for us. In fact, it's really hard because it has a lot of negative connotations to it. It's difficult because we think of surrender. In fact, I have a lot of definitions here. It just gives us an image of defeat, we're captured, we're beaten down. We have to give up something. We have to give up our rights. So who wants to sign up for that, right? Nobody does. And so when we think about surrendering our life to Christ, unfortunately, that's kind of what we think of, is if I do that, I'm going to lose all of these things and I'm going to have to do something, like serve in the nursery for the rest of my life or something, right? We're going to find out that that's not true. In fact, I've avoided that for a long time in my life just because that's what we think. If we surrender our life, that's what's going to happen, that God's going to put us somewhere that's absolutely horrible. We're going to lose everything. Because that's kind of our definition for it, especially for being a human. We don't like those types of things. More definitions are that we just have to succumb to something. We have to relinquish something, to collapse, fall, to go down, topple, tumble, all these different. When I looked up in the thesaurus, there's like a whole page on surrender and the different words and what it means. So those are the things that we think of, unfortunately, when we surrender our life to Christ. But we're going to find out this morning that that's just not true. Absolute is defined as something that's not limited by restrictions. There's no exceptions at all. It's unconditional. And that's another thing, too, that we follow as believers, is we surrender our life to Christ, but just some of the stuff. You can do this and this, but like I'll take care of my finances and I'll take care of my relationships with people, but you can have everything else. But absolute surrender means exactly that, that we surrender absolutely everything to the Lord. Surrender also gives the impression of weakness and failure, and we just never want to do those types of things. Also, in the things that we read and our entertainment, a lot of my favorite movies have to do with surrendering, some type of war, and of course we always root for the underdog, and they have a very happy ending. So a majority of our entertainment revolves around surrender. I recently read a book by Elizabeth Letts, and it's titled The Perfect Horse. And it was really a fascinating book because it talks about towards the end of World War II. In Austria, they have maybe you've seen them before, they perform around the world, but it's the Lippenzahner horses. And yeah, they're beautiful. They were actually in St. George, and I had a chance to see them. Anyway, during the end of the war, it's actually part of the Spanish Riding School, even though it's not in Spain, and they've been performing for hundreds of years. So when the Nazis occupied Austria, they were going to confiscate all those horses because they are considered the perfect breed of horse. And according to the Nazi philosophy, they were going to actually capture all these horses and take them away and actually breed a perfect race of horses. That was their theology, and that was their plan, just kind of like humans. It was definitely a twisted ideology. But anyway, towards the end of the war, they actually sought help from the Americans. The Americans actually came and took the horses away and hid them and actually even brought some of them to America. And then after the war, they went back to Austria, and they're there today. But it's really a heartbreaking book because at the time, the people of Austria, they had to surrender everything that they had. They've had families that grew up in these beautiful farms, and they just absolutely lost everything, their houses, their possessions, everything. That they took everything away from them. So it actually did have kind of a happy ending to it. And there's a lot of grace and redemption in the end of the story, which I really liked as well. And if you ever have a chance, there's a Disney movie. I think it was made in 1965. And it's called The Miracle of the White Stallions. And it was just really refreshing to watch. There's no swear words. And everybody has a tie and a dress. And it's just really kind of cool. So I really liked it. It's just a beautiful movie. It really is. And it was actually filmed there on location, and it shows you what they do, and it just kind of tells you the whole story. and it was wonderful. One of my favorite movies is The Kingdom of Heaven. And at the time when it came out, that was kind of one of the controversies that came out. It's like, why in the world would you make a movie where we actually had to surrender Jerusalem to the enemy? And that was the whole thing behind the movie. So there was a surrender there. They actually had to surrender everything. But the thing there, and the reason why I brought that example up, it was conditional. If you've seen the movie, if you remember, they had to surrender Jerusalem, but then they got to take their lives and their belongings and different things away. So no one was killed because of that. It was a conditional surrender. Another one is a classic that came out, I think, in the early 1990s, maybe. The Last of the Mohicans, maybe you've seen that, with Daniel Day-Lewis. Really a cool movie. And once again, it's all about the Indian Wars and the French and those types of things. And the British are in a fort, I think it's called Fort Henry. The French overcome them, and they have to surrender. But, of course, once again, it's conditional. In fact, I still remember the part of the movie. And he says, well, you can leave. You can take your flag, your colors, your people, your provisions. No one will hurt you. No one will kill you when you leave. But you have to promise to never come back. You can never fight again. In fact, you actually have to go back to Britain. That was part of the conditions of the surrender. So anyway, the reason why I brought that up is because, and when I teach something, it's because of my experiences that I've had, which are always not so good with my walk with the Lord, because I learn from it. And I've done that. I don't know how many times where I've actually surrendered to the Lord, but not. It's kind of like conditional. It's like, well, I'll do this and this, but this right here I can kind of do on my own. Yeah?
Can we use another word other than surrender?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, because it's so hard for us to say surrender.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point that we're going to get to. When you look at it from our perspective, and that's why I bring up all these examples, no, it's not, actually. Because when we surrender our life to Christ, and that's what you're going to see in this lesson, that's exactly what it means. That's what you're doing. You're surrendering. But however, just in God's, and just the way he works things out, when you surrender to Christ, it's not what we have in the world where you're beaten down and, you know, God's up there with a gavel and he's just going to nail you for everything you do, this, that, and the other thing, and you're going to Africa for the rest of your life and you're going to live in a mud hut. It's not like that. In fact, just in the last month of my life, I mean, I did that. I surrendered to the Lord and it's just been amazing. Your life will be blessed beyond your belief when you surrender your life to the Lord. And a lot of times, when we pray and we ask for things, and a lot of times they really don't happen, or maybe our walk with the Lord is kind of weak and kind of stagnant, it's because we have not done that. We just haven't done that at all. In fact, I don't know if that's in my notes right now, but on this book right here, this is actually where I got my ideas by Andrew Murray, and it took me 10 years to read this. It really did. Not really. In fact, I still remember I was just a brand new believer. I was in St. George, and I went to a men's conference at Calvary Chapel, and they actually had it at the Holiday Inn. And it was probably one of the first ones I went to, and it was really fun, and this was the book that they gave you. I still remember before the conference even started, I just kind of opened it up and just kind of read the first couple pages, and it's like, I'm not ready for that. Because once again, that's what we think about surrender. Surrender is a bad thing. Okay? This right here is called Absolute Surrender by Andrew Murray. And once again, it really did. It's just been in my bookcase, and I'll tell you the whole story here in a minute. It's just sat there for years. I've never read it because I didn't want to do all of that. I'm just being honest. Another book that I had, I couldn't find it this morning, and it still has the bookmark in it halfway through, and it's by Max Lucado. And that's exactly what it deals with, is serving the Lord. And that's the mentality that some of us have. When we say, Lord, please use me, that's kind of a dangerous thing to say. Because you're going to find out what happens in your life. Okay, but you're going to find out, I got goosebumps right now, it's not at all what you thought, but it turns out to be absolutely wonderful. Years ago when I lived in California, I've told you this story before, when I was married to Alex's mom, we lived upstairs, and there was a young couple downstairs. We'd have dinner together once a week or whatever the case may be. I was going to college, and she was going to college, and I asked her, what are you majoring in? And she's like, education, I want to be a teacher. It's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Who in the world would do that? Just, you know, you're with kids all day and the noise, and that's what I've done for the past 20 years. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, how the Lord works all that stuff out. In fact, I've used this as well, where we had our apartment in California, where I had my little office room, library type thing. I had a desk, and I had a big window that opened out. And when you open the window, there was an abortion clinic right out my back window. Okay, right there. That's what I saw when I sat down at my desk. This was when I was an atheist, an unbeliever. I had pictures of Charles Darwin in my wall and all that kind of stuff. When you're going to college, you pick up all these different liberal ideas. In fact, I even called the police on the protesters when they came for the Right for Life people. Quit pounding on that drum. I can't sleep and the noise, it's unbearable. And can you please make these people stop? And so for the past 3 years of my life, as you know, I work for the Hope Pregnancy Center. I work with the male clients there, and it's just been the biggest blessing in my life. I never thought in a million years that's where I would be. That's just how the Lord works. And it's because, you know, I've just tried to surrender my life and do the right thing. And that's kind of, and I'm glad you said that. I've never thought about that. Can we use a different word? No, we can't, because that's exactly what it is. You're surrendering your life to Christ. But it's a good thing. And he'll just bless your socks off. It's unbelievable. And we're going to find out, too, by looking at this. I mean, there's difficulties. It's just not a free ride. And I've done that, too. Just accepting the Lord, and I just expect him to fix all of my problems. Everything's going to be all good now. It's not like that. It does require some work on our part. But please don't confuse that with like a works-based thing. We can't work for the Lord's grace. But you do have to read your Bible. You do have to pray. You have to be mindful all the time of the Lord, all the time. And quite honestly, that's been happening to me the past couple of months of my life. Rather, I take a walk. I see his creation, or I see an animal. It's like, oh my gosh, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Or rocks, the way they're formed, or when I walk by the mountains and just look at everything. It's just incredible how he has done everything. So the Lord is always on my mind. And it's just awesome. So when we surrender our life, it's a good thing. Okay, if you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Kings chapter 20. And if you don't want to, that's okay. It's short and I can read it. 1 Kings chapter 20. It's kind of right after 2 Samuel, I believe, in that area. Okay, I'm just going to read the first four verses. And the story is, this little portion of the Bible talks about two kings. You have King Ben-Hadad, and then also you have... Ahab, excuse me. So anyway, this talks about surrender. Now Ben-Hadad of the king of Syria gathered all of his forces together. 32 kings were with him, with horses and chariots, and he went up to the besieged Samaria and made war against it. Then he sent messengers into the city to Ahab, king of Israel, and said to him, "Thus says Ben-Hadad, your silver and your gold are mine, your loveliest wives and children are mine." And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, just as you say, I and all that I have are yours." Now, I just absolutely love that last line on verse 4, because it says, "And all that I have are yours." And we kind of look at the big scheme of things anyway, as God owns everything anyway. He owns you. He owns your house, your possessions. Everything belongs to him. He has given it to you. Therefore, it belongs to him. But it's so funny how we cling onto those things. And no, you can't have those types of things. They're mine. So this is exactly what surrender is. And all that I have are yours. Everything. And that's what surrender means. So I just thought that was a beautiful thing. And this is a requirement when we surrender to Christ. Okay, but why is it so difficult, like we talked about before? My mom, bless her heart, and I've brought this up before, it's so funny. I've just tried to get her to come to church, and the first thing out of her mouth every single time, "Well, I'd like to come, but the first thing they're going to do is they're going to give me a job, something to do." That's not true at all. In fact, there have been times, years ago when this church first started, when Dave was the pastor, he just had me do a lot of things. I cleaned the church. I taught. We did Awana. We did all sorts of things. And sometimes it became a little bit overwhelming. But now that I look at that, those were all times that, dang it, thought I was going to make it. Those were chances to grow and to serve. I am because I who I am today because of those opportunities to serve. Pastor Craig, the same thing. Just to ask to teach and do different things. The worship team. Those are all things to serve the Lord. And I just think that's the coolest thing. So it's hard sometimes. Sometimes people see that. "Oh, I got this job I got to do." And it's just not easy. Years ago, going back to Dave, he used to come over to school. And when I first met him, back when we had time, we'd play a game of chess every morning. You know, if he remembers that or not. And also, I lost every single game, every one. Okay, every single game. And I just couldn't quite figure it out because I'm like a bookish type person. I would read the books and try and Bobby Fischer stuff and find out what am I doing and how to do all this different type of thing. And in St. George, I played with somebody all the time, too. And the only game I ever won is because I read somewhere in the rules that if you're familiar with chess, when there's check and checkmate, when you get someone in check, you don't have to say that. That's not a rule. It's actually a courtesy. So when I played that game, I had somebody in check, and I never said anything. So she didn't see it, so I won. But that really made her mad. That's cheating. I said, no, it's right here in the book. It's, you know, Rule 38. You don't have to. It's a courtesy. You don't have to say it. And it really made her mad. And it just, we just don't like to lose of things. Once again, just surrendering is just not good for us. Loss and destruction, giving everything, defeat. It's just something in our humanness that we just don't like to do. And so maybe you said this in your mind already that sometimes, like I said, we don't dare do it. In fact, I've even heard it on Christian radio stations. You know, if you ask the Lord, please use me, you better be prepared for what's coming. It's not bad, but it's going to stretch you a little bit. It's going to put you in places where you never thought you would be. But once again, it's very cliche, you know, where God guides, he provides. It really is kind of true. He'll provide that thing. He'll provide that for you. And that's the beautiful thing about surrendering. You don't do it all on your own. It's not all about you. God, I'm going to surrender today and I'm doing it all by myself. Well, no, you're not. It takes a lot of work. You have to be mindful of everything. You have to think about things you need to work on. I think I'm really good about that with my life. There's just parts of me I do not like. But I lift those things up into prayer. Just please help me be better. Help me watch my mouth and with my anger and all those different types of things. And when you do that, believe it or not, it just kind of pops in your mind before you say something that it's probably not a good idea to say something like that. He's just with you, just all the time. It's kind of a cool thing. So once again, surrendering just goes against our human nature. It's just something we don't want to do. We just don't like to give things up. Once again, much of the material that I got for this lesson came out of this book right here by Andrew Murray. And I guess he's written a lot of things. And the one thing I thought that was really interesting is he died in 1917 or a long time ago. And when he writes this book, he gives a lot of examples about the state of the church is so horrible back then. It's just, it doesn't have any power. The people are just all messed up. And it's like, oh my gosh. Can you imagine if he came back now? I mean, I'm in shock. I'm just kind of I spend a lot of time outdoors. I don't go to the city very much. And it's just what I like to do. I just don't go places very much. The only time I go to Vegas is when I have to pick somebody up at the airport, which I did last week, and I was aghast. I could not believe what I saw. The way people talk, the way people dress. It's like, where in the world have I been? I mean, everybody is just full of rage and anger. And the dressing thing is, I just cannot believe it. The way some of these female dress, and they're with dad and mom, and just nobody says anything at all. I just can't believe it. There's no modesty anymore. Even the language we hear all the time. I'll go to a restaurant, and it's common just to hear the F-bomb all over the place. It's just natural that people talk that way now. I just can't believe it. It's just unbelievable to me. So when I heard him say that, over 100 years ago, how bad things are, it's really bad now. So anyway, I really enjoyed that. But things just haven't changed much, have they? So this is actually more important now, I think, for us to surrender our lives so we can be that light for Christ in this world. That's very important, and that's one thing that I pray for. Instead of getting all bent out of shape and mad at everybody and mad at everyone and just kind of staying away, be kind, be courteous to people, show them the example of what it's supposed to be like. So I think that's what we're called to do. Well, I know that's what we're called to do. Also, things pop into my mind all the time. When I was doing this lesson, I just got a chuckle because I thought of the song by Kenny Chesney, There Goes My Life. And so I think a lot of times people, too, are you familiar with the song? It's a beautiful song. Anyway, it starts off with basically he's very young. I don't know if he's barren or not, but they end up having a child. And he's like, well, there goes my life. I can't do things anymore. Can't hang out with my friends. Can't do this. Can't do that. I'm just tied down with a child now. There goes my life. I'm done. I'm finished. So I think a lot of times when we surrender to Christ, we think that, too. Well, there goes my life. No more fun. I can't do this. I can't do that. And this is what I have to do now. Well, as the song goes along, and he spends time with his daughter. Here we go again. Finally, when she's an adult, she's 18, he's packing her car, and she drives off, and he says, there goes my life. See the change?
Yes.
So at first, it was like, there goes my life. But now that all this beauty, these beautiful times and memories he has with his daughter, as she drives off, he says, there goes my life. Meaning that was his life. So that's the way it is with Christ. Please don't, and this is something that I've discovered. Like I said, it took so many years to read that book. Because that's what I thought, my life is kind of done. You know, God's a fun sucker, and I can't do this, and I can't do that anymore. And, well, it's making more sense to me now when God says, don't be part of the world. I don't want to be part of the world now. It's horrible. Okay, but that doesn't mean, okay, that we just completely keep ourselves away and exclude ourselves from everybody. Like, everybody knows my perfect job in the world is like being in a fire tower up in the mountains. I would love that. Stack of books, binoculars, I'm just in that tower. There's no people, no kids, nipping at my heels. It's awesome. But then I thought, why hasn't that prayer been answered? It's because, well, what good am I to the Lord? None. I'm having fun, but I'm surely not doing anything to glorify his kingdom. Or out counting tortoises in the desert. Man, that would be fun too. But once again, I can't do anything. And I really believe that's why...
you can save the tortoises.
I guess you could shine our shells a little bit or do whatever, right? But I thought about that, and I think that's why I use the word stuck in school, and that's not the right word, but just nothing has come up at all, because I think that's where the Lord wants me to be. Just to love on those kids that get no love at home, and just to be nice and kind to them. And I really do enjoy being around them. It's just a blessing to be there, even though it's been really difficult lately. But I think that's why I'm there, because that's why we are created, is to serve the Lord, and everything that we do is glorifies him. And we glorify him by surrendering our lives and living through him. So once again, Andrew Murray stated the greatest need of the church is surrender. Now please turn to, and you don't have to if you want to, in Leviticus chapter 26. Do some Old Testament preaching. Now it's really interesting how this all came to be. I'm just amazed how God works in my life all the time. Going through the Bible, I've read the New Testament. Now I started with the Old Testament. And usually when I get to these books here, it's like, somebody begat somebody, this, that, and the other thing. And there's 35 pages on how to put the candle in the temple and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, I'm going crazy reading all these types of things. But I've read it this time, and it's just really a cool book. I just love it, especially Leviticus. And once again, how the Lord works. I can still remember several weeks ago, in fact, I found this book once again in my bookcase. And I was on my walk, and that's what I think a lot. And I said, it's just my walk with the Lord just hasn't been what it should be. Just frustrating, this, that, and the other thing. And so I did. I just surrendered my life to the Lord, and I asked him, please show me what that means exactly on how to do that. I want to truly, 100% surrender my life. Please use me. And lo and behold, the next day I get a call from Pastor Craig. Hey, can you teach Sunday school on Sunday? I was like, whoa, that's kind of cool. I got goosebumps, right? I mean, right after I pray that, well, then the pastor calls me and says, well, can you teach something? And then usually if you've been called to teach something, believe it or not, most of the time is figuring out what in the world to teach. Well, should I teach this? Should I teach that? Right away, it popped into my mind, hey, teach surrender. And at that time, I was actually reading Leviticus in my personal reading. Once again, I had to think back to California, like I told you, where I lived in that apartment. Well, I had the abortion clinic out my window, and then two blocks up the street, when I was a college student, you know, you go to the coffee houses, and that's where you study and all that kind of stuff. And it was a big, huge coffee place, and it was called Leviticus. And so anyway, I walk in there and got my coffee, and I looked at the guy, and I said, what's a Leviticus? He says, it's a book of the Bible. And I was like, oh, okay, and I didn't think anything, because I thought it was odd. They had a big urn with the incense and all new age music and all that kind of stuff. There wasn't anything. I guess I just thought it was like a cool thing to say, or a cool name for their place. But anyway, in my personal reading, a lot of times we need to reflect on, we always think about the wonderful blessings that the Lord has for us, and which is a good thing. But sometimes, once again, speaking for myself, I kind of have to look at who God really is and what he deserves. He deserves our absolute surrender, period. He expects that of you. And so when I'm reading this right here, in fact, people take God the wrong way when they read the Old Testament, when you read a lot of comments in the news, that and the other thing. We just see a God of wrath that just hates everybody. He's always mad, in a bad mood, ticked off, and just zaps everybody for everything. Now, anything you do is wrong. Well, that's not how God is. So when I read Leviticus 26, I'm going to read this to you. It talks about blessings and curses. Now, we all know that when we obey Christ, we when we're obedient, that's when we get our blessings in our life. Now, blessings doesn't really mean the boat, the four-wheeler, the nice house, all those types of things. A blessing could be serving someone. Okay? It could be teaching Sunday school. It could be working with the kids. Those are blessings. And maybe God will bless you that way. It's not always physical things that he does. But then also, on the other side of that, when we're disobedient, that has to be punished. Now, once again, we live in different times than the Old Testament times. A lot of people did lose their life for being disobedient right off the bat, just dead instantly. Well, a lot of times, and I found that in my life, I think sometimes that we ride on the coattails of grace and mercy from God. I'm sure we've all done it. I want to do this really bad, and I know God will forgive me, so it's going to be okay. I've seen it time. I've done it myself, sadly. I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't do it. But we serve a God of grace and mercy, and he's going to forgive me for that, and he will, right? He promises to do that if we repent. But we also need to see that a lot of times that he will discipline us in certain ways, and he disciplines everybody differently. For me, for some reason, ever since I was little, even as an unbeliever, I've just had a horrible sense of guilt. I remember stealing candy bars, you know, at a store, slipping them up my sleeve and getting halfway home, and it's like, oh, what did I just so guilty, I would go and unsteal it. I would take it back. It's just all sorts of stuff. And even when I was just a punk teenager when I grew up, I just wasn't a very good person at all. I got in all sorts of trouble. I still felt really bad about that. You know, it really bothered me, just kind of going with the flow. And even in my life now, I think that's the one thing that God has done to me is just that sense of guilt. When I sin and I know I've done something wrong, I love the analogy of me over here, God over here, and there's this bridge. When I sin, that bridge is cut. I can honestly, physically feel when I've done something I know I shouldn't do, I can just feel that veil lifted of protection away from me, and I just get that feeling in my chest that I've sinned against the Lord. And it's a horrible feeling. And in fact, I feel like I'm just out in the middle of somewhere with like wolves all around me, just ready to get me. I really feel that way because I've sinned against God, and I've grieved the Holy Spirit. I've heard that many times from Pastor Craig, and that really hits home to me, grieving the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. And when you do something you shouldn't be doing, you grieve him. I always liken things, since we serve a relational God, of with Alec and just my kids and with Grace, that when they do something wrong and I've taught them and they do it anyway, it doesn't make me mad. It grieves me. I'm sad. I'm brokenhearted. Just imagine how the Lord feels when we grieve him. We know what we're not supposed to do, but we do it anyway. Yes, ma'am.
When you sin and you ask forgiveness, but you don't do it again.
Well, this is interesting. Repentance, well, you're not supposed to, right? When you repent of something, that's the whole idea behind true repentance. Lord, I've done this, and I'm sorry, and I won't do it again. Well, there's a lot of issues for females and males, that I find myself, in fact, there's a Jeremy Camp song that he sings, and when he gives the dialogue, even Paul says that. I think it was Paul. I just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. I can't stand it, you know? For me, it's just saying things. They just pop out of my mouth. And it's, where did that come from? And Alex the same way. So it's genetic, I guess. He can blame me. I don't know what it is. It's just, I don't even think about it. It just comes out of my mouth. Sometimes it's really funny. And other times, it's just embarrassing. And I feel like, oh, why did I say that? I can't believe it. It was horrible. I've said some things to you here in church, and I apologize. I'm embarrassed. But it's something that I've asked on the repentance thing, please help me with that, because I can't stop it on my own. So now it's really interesting. I'll hear certain things. I'm like, and I just won't say anything. I'm trying to be funny. So when you repent, that's the whole thing, is you're not supposed to do those things again. But once again, depending on, that's a whole nother lesson in itself. For example, I have a Christian counseling magazine I was reading yesterday, and it's all on personality disorders. Every single one of us, I know we get together, sometimes we'll talk about quirks about different people. Well, that's our personality. And a lot of it has to do with how we were raised in our environment. So a lot of those things, and it's opened my eyes up, when we see a naughty child, a lot of times, well, it's not their fault, because it's the environment they've been raised in. I could tell you stories, you'd just be in shock. These kids that I work with at school, their home life, and the things that they're exposed to, it's just unbelievable. And because of that, they act out in school, they have no personality, they can't talk, they can't communicate with you. because of how they've been raised. It's just a horrible thing. So for some people, we do repent of those things, and we just keep doing it again and again. But then we have to be careful, too, on the other side. Like I told you before, I've heard people say that, well, I can do it because God's always going to forgive me. Okay, well, that's not true repentance. That's just like, hey, I'm sorry, and then going out and doing it again.
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
so
that's like confession.
Right, and that's the whole thing. That's what confession is and repentance is. I don't want to ever do that again, so forgive me, and please help me not do it again. But there's certain issues, addictions and different things like that, that people just can't stop. Some of the men that I work with in St. George, just all with drugs, either over the counter, lower tabs or prescription medication or even marijuana. Their wife has given them the ultimatum. It's this or it's us, and they will choose that. They will choose drugs over their family. Okay? It's in shock. You've got a beautiful wife and two beautiful kids, and you're just going to throw it all away? Just shrug their shoulders and move on? Okay? Those are horrible things, and once again, I'm just in shock in the world today on just how it's just okay for all of that stuff. They don't like me at school for that reason, where they're just harping on this education money that comes from marijuana sales and taxes. I want nothing to do with that. I do not want money that's from somebody that destroyed somebody's life. You're kidding me. I'd rather take these kids with sticks and do our math in the dirt than have all the stuff that the money's supposed to provide. I want nothing with that at all. Anyway, I digress. But anyway, it's that's a whole other topic. And that's, once again, surrendering to God. And you're going to find out, and this is the cool thing because it's happened to me lately, is when I surrender to God and I think about it all the time, I don't do those things because he's always in your mind and you just feel it all the time. I mean, when I say I got goosebumps, I really do. I just feel that
the
way.
The difference is, it isn't like you give it up.
Right.
It's stuff you don't want to do.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Because it just inside, you don't want to do it anymore.
And going back to the world, now I know exactly what God means about separating yourself from the world. I want nothing to do with that. I don't know if you watch the news or I don't. Are you aware? It's just amazing the things that these comedians say. Everybody is so vulgar and crude. It's disgusting. It's absolutely unbelievable. You know, and it's just okay. It's acceptable. I want nothing to do with that. But on the other hand, I don't want to isolate myself at St. Andrew's and stay in my house and never answer the door. We need to be out and setting a good example. When you work with somebody, you go to customer service at Walmart, be kind, be courteous, those types of things. Always let people see Christ in you. And that's the beauty of surrendering. When you surrender, you get those things. That's your blessing that God gives you. And you're going to find out that your life is much more at ease and things don't bother you as much. So here we go in Leviticus. Now, what this has to do with is blessing and curses. And like I said, it's Old Testament stuff, but there's really a lot of truth to it because it really explains to you what God expects from us. You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither carved image or a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Nor shall you set up an engraved stone into your land or bow down to it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to full and dwell on your land safely. I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You will seize your enemies, you will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemy shall fall by the sword before you. For I will look up on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should be their slave, not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of the yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, waste and disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart, and you shall sow the seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. After all of this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your Lord shall not yield its produce, or shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. Then, if you walk contrary to me and are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. I'm going to stop right there just for the sake of time, but I just want to encourage you. In fact, I've started off my day with this whole chapter 26. Now, that's kind of scary stuff, and yes, if we disobey, we're not going to be surrounded by beasts and those types of things, but we will be surrounded by evil. There's been times just in dangerous situations when you ask for the Lord's protection. I mean, he's there for you, and he will do that, and that's just an incredible thing. So I just wanted to, we need to be reverent of God and who he really is. Okay, once I think we see that in the world that really don't truly understand Jesus, you know, he's the mild guy on the donkey that was a really good teacher and a nice guy. Yeah, he was, but he's also the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we just need to be mindful of that, who God really is. And I love the part that says, I am the Lord your God. That's exactly who he is. That's who we serve. And so, surrendering, he is the Lord, he is our God, so that's something that we need to do. The first thing that we're going to look at is God expects your surrender. He expects that of you. This is the foundation of the very nature of God. God, he can't do that otherwise. He is the fountain of life. He's everything. He is the only source of existence, power, and glory. God has created everything. He created you. And he created us to live a good life, but also he created us to glorify him. Sometimes there will be a tragedy in our life, and it will turn out that somehow that glorifies God. Well, that's why he created us, is to glorify him. That's our purpose on this earth. As God's redeemed children, can God do this work if there is only half or part of them surrendered? No. Once again, I just think about the Lord all the time. As I'm walking out the house, I have all these flower pots that I haven't planted anything in yet. And I see these flower pots that have holes in them. And I said, well, that's like us. How can God do his work in us if we're like this flower pot with a hole in it? If I fill it full of water, what's going to happen? It's all going to drain out, right? So it's the same thing. If we don't surrender our life, how can God possibly use us 100%? Now, there's been, most of my walk, honestly, I haven't surrendered my life to Christ. And he's done a lot of wonderful things through me, and he's done some wonderful things to me. But I think about, just think if I was totally surrendered, what would happen? I think of the military, and I served 12 years. I got an honorable discharge. It was a great experience, made a lot of friends. I had a really neat job. But I look back with regret because there was a lot of opportunities that came up that I never took. Usually in the military, when you first go in the first couple of years, you're gung-ho, excited. It's all really kind of cool and neat. And then after that kind of wears off, then you just kind of get, oh, I got to go flying again. I got to do this, got to do that. And, oh, we're working 12 hours. We got to work this weekend. And you get grumpy, and we complain a lot. And there are just a lot of neat experiences that came my way that I chose not to take because I just don't feel like doing it. Don't want to do it. So now I look back with regret. It's like, oh, my life would have been completely different if I just would have done that. Well, I'm an old man now, so I can't go back in the military and say, I'd really like to do that now. It's over. It's done. And I really am, you know. I did this with a heating pad this morning when I was riding. I really did. My back is, but I'm still young. I still have a skateboard, and I ride it all the time. So it's kind of fun, being young at heart. I think of the movie Rudy. About the Notre Dame, if you've seen that, that's such a really good feel-good movie because I actually bought a book that's called Rudy's Rules, and that's what it talks about, is people live their life, and kind of towards the end, they have the would-haves, the should-haves, and the could-haves. And I really think that we have that one-on-one with the Lord when we finally get to sit down with him and just to gaze on his greatness, that's one thing, if we do not surrender ourselves to the Lord fully, that I think that's going to be very painful to us. And he's not going to do it in a condemning way. But he says, look at all these things I had for you. You could have done this. And I think a lot of times it won't be necessarily that, but we'll be thinking, oh, if I would have went on that short-term mission trip, or if I would have done this ministry, or maybe I should be on the worship team even though I can't sing very well. I mean, he'll provide all of them. Well, that's not a good thing, trust me. It'd be horrible. dancing and singing are not my thing. Anyway. But anyway, I think we're going to see that. And it's like, oh, why didn't I do that for the Lord? I mean, I look back at my life and full of regrets. You know, it's just, I wish I would have done this. My life would have been completely different. But I mean, I'm very happy with my life. It's been great. But I look back and it's like, I could have done so much more. And I think it's kind of like our brain where they say, well, you only use 10% of your mental capacity. Yeah. Well, I think that's us when we don't surrender. We're not fully usable to the Lord. He'll do good things through us. But just think if we totally surrendered the power that we would have. Man, that's just amazing to me. So once again, just not totally 100% surrendering to the Lord. I think we're cheating ourselves with that. And then God just cannot fill us up if we have that hole in our bottom of the pot. Thank you, Bonnie. It's just not going to work. So if I surrender to the Lord, but I still have these sins in my life and things that I know I shouldn't really be doing, that are questionable, God can't use me. He's not going to fill me up. Okay, because I'm living in sin and I've broken that bridge and it just can't be that way. And once again, we see that in the church. The people come on Sundays, listen to a great message, and then Monday through Saturday, they live their life how they want to do it. And surrendering can be expensive. I told you before, every DVD I put in now, I throw them away. I bought this movie Tombstone. I love Westerns now. That's my thing. And I mean, within the first 5 minutes, I've taken the Lord's name in vain 5 or 6 times. I cannot watch that. So I just throw it out. I'm being honest with you. To me, I think God has given me that, and I really enjoy that. It's like, well, and a great discerner is, and I have discussions with Grace all the time about this, that, and the other thing, about what's appropriate, like PG-13, well, it's not that bad. It's like, okay, would Jesus sit with you in that movie, sit right next to you in that seat? Well, of course not. Well, then it's not appropriate. And I don't mean to sound prudish, this, that, and the other thing, but I just don't want, there's no reason for any of that. So just let him go to the movies anymore. It's just kind of vulgar. So once again, God expects the surrender from us. It's just like as parents on Father's Day, we expect our kids to do things. Now, you're going to obey. You're going to help. You're going to do this and do that. But once again, the reward, and we see kids that haven't been brought up that way, when they turn 18, they can't function. They can't hold on a job. They can't do anything. If you've raised your child that way, it's just amazing. We've trained them, and it will help them in their life. In the words of Andrew Murray, he says, do you expect that your immortal being and the divine nature that you have received by regeneration, God can work his work every day and every hour unless you are entirely given up to him? Well, God can't do that. And if we look in our life even in different things, it's like when I went to college, that was a good experience for me because I really did. I gave everything that I had. I never missed a class. I did all my homework, and it was just a fun experience. Well, that should be our walk with the Lord. Every single day, do the best we can, and we're going to get that time type of blessing in our life. But once again, the beauty of surrender is Christ is going to work out all the details. You don't come to Christ as a perfect being saying, okay, I'm going to surrender and I can do this, that, and the other thing. Just with the confessing, I have a really good relationship with the Lord. It's like I really stink at this. Can you help me? I'm horrible. I don't want to be this way. I just have that honest form of communication with him. And that's the beauty. And in fact, I love Testimony Sunday, every single one of them. Okay? There's a few people that get up and it's like their parents were Christians and they were brought up with Christ. And it's just cool. That Christ just continued their life. And then you have people like myself. It's just been a total train wreck from the get-go. You know, and God has completely transformed me and redeemed me. And that's just such a beautiful thing because it's not on my power. It's because what he has done through me. It's just amazing. There's been times in my life where I've told God, leave me alone. I'm just tired of trying to be good all the time. It's annoying. I just want to go do something. But it's funny. He just keeps that on you, and he keeps you from doing those types of things. So that's awesome. So once again, we don't want to miss any opportunities. Another thing, and this is important, is God accomplishes our surrender. Okay, when we surrender our life to Christ, once again, please. Okay, and that's why I gave those examples at the first. When we surrender our life, we just have that notion that game over, it's done. Okay, you're just finished. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car.
You're take it with you.
Yeah, and even on some things, well, people actually get buried in their cars now. And with their possessions and different types of things like that. Oh, darn, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, it's okay. I'll get there. Once again, he accomplishes all those things for you. And we see that all the time. We see that just with people around us, what they've accomplished and what they've done. It's Christ working those things through you. It's just amazing how he does that. I think a lot of us, in fact, I always laughed at a lot of the Calvary pastors when they gave their testimonies. I mean, they're gangbangers, drug dealers, all that kind of stuff. And they've given their life to Christ, and now they do wonderful things. When I worked at Hope for Prisoners in Vegas, these men that I worked with, I mean, some of them were attempted murder. I mean, really bad stuff. And they were just the big, most lovable people you've ever met in your life. And they just love the Lord like there's no tomorrow. We don't do those things through our power, folks. We do that through God and the Holy Spirit, and it's through surrender. You know, it's kind of like the old George Strait song, I Met Jesus on the Jailhouse Floor, right? Because a lot of them were like that. They were just completely beat down to nothing, and God completely redeemed them because at that time they had nothing else to do but surrender to the Lord, and look what God has done in their life. So God accomplishes those things for you. And he, once again, he doesn't ask for the perfect surrender. He knows who we are, what we're like. And that's the beautiful thing of the Lord. It's just kind of like I love the potter wheel and the clay, because he does that. He molds us in how he wants us to be. And I'm so grateful for that. I've botched up too much of my life doing it my own way, and it just hasn't been very good. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." One more thing I want to talk. We're running out of time. Sorry about that. Also, God accepts your surrender. Okay, that's something that he really likes. He's grateful to have that. And he's going to do that and work good things for you once again to change our hearts and make us better people. And once again, he's going to heal our hurts, our different personality things that he knows us. He gave us that personality, and he's going to help us with that. And really what it amounts to is either we believe the Bible or we don't. If you believe the Bible is 100% true, then everything in it is true. And in Mark 23:24, it says, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And I've said that myself. Help me believe this stuff. I don't understand this. Okay, so God will do those types of things. In closing, it's important to know that God maintains your surrender as well. Once again, there's things that we have to do. Okay. It's not work-based, but we have to stay in the Word. We have to pray. We have a small men's group that gets together with the Birds and Derek, and it's just been a wonderful thing because, well, that's not my thing, is to get together and do those types of things. But it's been interesting because we're constantly with our phones texting back and forth and, hey, pray for this, hey, pray for that. And God has come through, and it's just amazing to see what he's done. And that's because we have that relationship with him, and we're helping each other. So when we surrender, we have the grace of God, the power of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will help us maintain that. Lastly, it's just foolish to resist. He's going to do what he wants to do anyway. And for some of us, we've surrendered our life, and it's been nice the way God has worked us. And others of us, it's just been we've been resistant. We've been foolish, like in the book of Jonah. He resisted, and look what happened to him. He just lived in a miserable life. So once again, I just want to thank you for this morning, and just I want to think of on Father's Day to pray for our fathers. The world is in jeopardy, I think, because of just the, even listening to the Christian radio station this morning, that was the first thing they said is, well, you probably didn't have a very good relationship with your father, but wish him a happy Father's Day anyway. It's like, I mean, everything is negative all the time, and sadly, a lot of that is true, but just please pray for fathers that we can do that, and I can think of no greater gift is to thank the Lord for being our father. I don't know how many men in my life have failed me time and time again. Fatherhood figures have just left. I've never seen them again. It's been heartache, and that's the thing that I have to deal with. And that has made me who I am. And it's a lot of pain. It's a horrible scar. But God has never failed me. So let us close in prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your word, and there's just so much to talk about. It's incredible, Lord. But I just pray that you will put that on our heart, Lord, just to surrender our lives to you. And just please help us realize it. It's not defeat. It's nothing bad. It's just something that's absolutely wonderful, because you will take the things that we struggle with and just make them better. That's a win-win situation. So I don't know why we want to do that. We belong to you anyway, Lord, and we just thank you for everything that you do. And I just want to lift up all the fathers in the world today, Lord, and just please put it in our hearts once again just to love, encourage, and lead our families and love our kids like you do. And we thank you for being the ultimate father, Lord. You never let us down. You never make any mistakes, and you love us unconditionally, and we're so grateful for that. Just thank you for a beautiful, wonderful day, and we ask these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.